Well, let's take the scriptures now and turn in them to Zechariah chapter 11. And we're reading this morning in chapter 11, verses 1 through 17. Zechariah chapter 11, 1 through 17. These are the words of God. Open your doors, O Lebanon, that a fire may feed on your cedars. Wail, O Cyprus, for the cedar has fallen, because the glorious trees have been destroyed. Wail, O oaks of Bashan, for the impenetrable forest has come down. There is a sound of the shepherd's wail, for their glory is ruined. There is a sound of the young lion's roar, for the pride of the Jordan is ruined. Thus says the Lord my God, pasture the flock doomed to slaughter. Those who buy them slay them and go unpunished. And each of those who sell them says, blessed be the Lord, for I have become rich. And their own shepherds have no pity on them. For I will no longer have pity on the inhabitants of the land, declares the Lord. But behold, I will cause the men to fall, each into another's power and into the power of his king. And they will strike the land, and I will not deliver them from their power. So I pastured the flock doomed to slaughter, hence the afflicted of the flock. And I took for myself two staffs, the one I called favor, and the other I called union. So I pastured the flock. Then I annihilated the three shepherds in 1 month, for my soul was impatient with them, and their soul also was weary of me. Then I said, I will not pasture you. What is to die, let it die, and what is to be annihilated, let it be annihilated, and let those who are left eat one another's flesh. I took my staff favor and cut it in pieces to break my covenant which I made with all the peoples. So it was broken on that day, and thus the afflicted of the flock who were watching me realized that it was the word of the Lord. I said to them, if it is good in your sight, give me my wages, but if not, never mind. So they weighed out 30 shekels of silver as my wages. Then the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter, that magnificent price at which I was valued by them. So I took the 30 shekels of silver and threw them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Then I cut in pieces my second staff union to break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. The Lord said to me, take again for yourself the equipment of a foolish shepherd. For behold, I am going to raise up a shepherd in the land who will not care for the perishing, seek the scattered, heal the broken, or sustain the one standing, but will devour the flesh of the fat sheep and tear off their hoofs. Woe to the worthless shepherd who leads the flock. A sword will be on his arm and on his right eye. His arm will be totally withered and his right eye will be blind. Those are the words of God. Well, now you remember again where we're at in Zechariah. Zechariah is talking about Judah, and Judah was once in exile in Babylon, but they've returned. They started rebuilding the temple, even though it took them some time to do so. They've received many warnings, many rebukes, because they did not pursue rebuilding the temple quickly. And what that has led to is there is some people who have repented, and yet there are some, many people, who are still persisting in their sin, in which this passage in chapter 11 comes to those people and warns them of what is coming to them. Because they're still, even after the exile, which should have purged their sin from them, which should have turned them back to God, they're still persisting in their sin. And so here comes a great warning to them and rebuke. And yet also, as we've heard, promises of the coming Messiah and the remnant of those who would follow Christ, that's in this passage. And so in this chapter, there comes this warning to the entire Jewish nation that it would be completely destroyed. Completely destroyed. That's the promise. That those who reject Christ and persist in their unbelief, they will be abandoned and be given up to ruin forever. Those who are of the chosen remnant among the whole nation will be effectually called in and united to Christ. And it almost seems like this passage is pointed to those times in the Gospels when Christ comes among the Jews and a few, many we might say, went after Christ and they loved Christ, but the many of the Jews rejected Him. And it seems like that's what is being talked about here in the future. And so this is all shown in the first three verses, shown in the whole passage. The promise of this destruction by Christ, who is King over all. And He who was once their shepherd will, in verses 10 and 11, break His shepherd's staff. That is something that should alarm them, because they have Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd. His rod and staff, they comfort me. But here He's saying He's going to break His staff to those who have rejected Him. And that covenant that was for them, promised to them, will no longer be promised to them. It is going to be ended, over with. He will hand them over to foolish shepherds who will complete their ruin. Christ will blind the leaders and those followers who have rejected Him. And that covenant won't be for them anymore. It's kind of the same thing as what you see warned in Hebrews, the many warning passages in Hebrews, like when they're warned, when they leave Christ, they will not be allowed to come back to Christ because they've rejected Him. And so that's kind of the same thing here. That's speaking of the whole Jewish nation who reject Him. But those who believe and turn to Him, they will not be rejected. And so this is a great warning to us, the church, just like He gives the author, the Lord does through the author to the Hebrews. It's a warning to you in the church to embrace Christ, to not reject Him, and heed His word by the grace of the Holy Spirit, lest such great ruin and bad shepherds come upon you. And that has, in some times, been given to those in the visible church. Bad shepherds who lead them astray from false teaching. And so let not that be you. Embrace Christ. Continually go after Christ. And love Him. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful that You give us such a hard word to remind us of Your holiness, of Your justice that we deserve. The pains of hell forever, that we deserve to be cut off from Your people, having broken Your covenant. And yet we're thankful that You have given us Christ, who keeps covenant for us and works in us by Your Holy Spirit to do good, to be righteous in Your sight and produce in us good fruit. Father, we know that apart from You, apart from Christ, we can do nothing, that we can do and produce no good fruit. And so we are thankful for the grace of Jesus Christ, who is given in the presence of Christ to us in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who dwells in our hearts, in the temple of our bodies. We're thankful that You help us and answer our prayers. And so, Father, we're thankful that You produced John's wallet this week, that he found it, and thankful that he has not lost a very important identification and bank cards and things like that. And Father, we're thankful for giving us a people who are lovers of Your word, and we pray that You would be with the Maxwells as they're in St. Louis now, and pray that their time worshiping would be wonderful today by Your grace, that the body that they worship with would receive them as fellow believers of the household of God. And we're thankful also for the spring weather and the rains that you'll bring and the things growing that show what happens in our souls when we believe in Christ and you begin producing fruit in us. And Father, we pray that that today as we worship you and we hear your word, that the seeds being planted in our hearts would produce a great harvest. And you would give us greater boldness to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to the many who are lost and dead in their sins and trespasses. Father, we do pray for Oliver and Ezekiel, especially Ezekiel, who has walking pneumonia. We ask that you would heal him and not allow anyone else in my household to get sick, and that Oliver would not get that pneumonia. Father, we praise you for their energy and strength. We pray that you would heal them, though, knowing that you are the God who heals, and you will heal at the right time. And we believe you will do it, just as we've prayed many times for healing, and you've brought healing to the many we've prayed for, even if that healing was through the path of death into glory, where they are with you forever with new glorified bodies soon, but certainly being made perfectly holy. Father, we're thankful for the outlook that we will receive new glorified bodies in the coming of Christ and the resurrection of our bodies from the dead. Father, we ask that you would give us faith to believe, knowing that though, and that even giving us assurance of our salvation, that we would know without any doubt, with great hope, that we will be with you forever. And Father, if there are any here who do not truly believe, even have perhaps put on a show and said they've believed but haven't truly, Father, even for our children, we pray that you would grant to them saving faith, that they would know where they are going in the future. And if they do not believe, we know where they are going, that they are going to die in their sins forever in hell, being punished in their bodies and souls, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And Father, we pray that you would save them from such utter eternal torment and give them eternal blessing and life. Father, we pray for our government, our governing authorities, those who rule over us, that you would save them. And we pray that you would grant them to rule according to your law. We do pray throughout the world. We're thankful for the news of what is happening in Korea and North Korea, and the end of war, at least the talks of it. We pray that that would actually be true, and those leaders would not be lying or trying to deceive. And we pray that that peace would come, that Christians in North Korea would be able to hear the gospel with gospel preachers, even from the many Christians in South Korea and their missions. Father, we pray that you would even equip people from here to go, if it would be your will, to open up that country to missionaries and bring in your word to be read and preached and taught, Father. Father, we're praising you for such great news, and we pray that it would be continual good news from that area of the world for the good of your kingdom. And Father, we pray that you would grow us here, and you would grow us in cleansing us of our sin, that you would grow us in number, that the gospel would be going to more people, and we would be not ashamed of the gospel, but boldly proclaiming it wherever we go. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.